May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week, we began this series of sermon on Jonah. And we had said last week that Jonah is one of the most studied and one of the most debated books of the Bible. But we believe that all scripture is given by God. And they are given for correction, for training in righteousness. And so we approach Jonah with that understanding. Last week, we found out that Jonah, the great prophet, in a surprise move, was running away from God. And we also saw that God was in pursuit of him. And God continues to pursue us even when we run away from him. In verse 17 of chapter 1 of Jonah, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." As we can see, Jonah might have given up on God, but God had not given up on Jonah. Chapter 2 then opens with the word, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed." What a strange place to pray from. And verse 10, as Mary read, "The Lord commanded the fish, and he vomited Jonah onto dry land." There are many things about life we can't possibly understand. There are so many things about life, even in our own personal lives. From rising to the end of the everyday, there are so many things that happen that we can't quite understand. And that is where faith comes in. As I've already said, all scripture is God's breath. They are all given by God. And so no section of the scripture, like one of the scholars has argued, that we should chop off some of this scripture that does not suit or meet our scientific understanding. So what we do in this study is to find out what God is saying to us through the experiences of Jonah. When you read through the scripture that was read to us this morning, you see that the words that Jonah spoke perhaps resonate with the words that some of us will speak or have spoken at different times in our lives. People have different reactions to crisis. I have seen people in terrible situations who turn to God. And I've also seen people in similar situations who turn away from God completely. And in such situations, people blame God for their problem. They blame others for their problem. In Jonah's case, Jonah returned to God. He knew there was nowhere else to go. Jonah prayed out of the belly's fish, for 3 days and three nights. We can pray anywhere, and God will hear us. It doesn't matter where we are, we can pray to God. We can pray to God before we enter into the theater. We can pray to God as we are leaving the theater. We can pray to God while we are right there. We can pray to God anywhere. Some prayers have been said in some strange surroundings. A few years ago, 2013, I've mentioned that some time ago when I was involved in an auto crash. And as the car was somersaulting, and I understand it somersaulted for about 5 times, as I was in the car with my brother-in-law, I saw myself smiling and praying. And I was smiling, and I was saying to myself, "This car should please stop so that I can go home and see my dad." Because I was going home to visit my dad. And at the end of the day, the car was wrecked. We can pray at any time in all places. There is no restriction to where and to how, to what we can pray for. I've always said that prayer is a privilege. It's an opportunity, a privilege we have. Because God can do without us, but he chooses to do, to work with us. And so to pray is an invitation from God to be part of what God is already doing. Because God can do without us. During the triumphant entry, when they wanted to stop the children, Jesus said, if you stop these children, the stones will rise up and praise me. So it's a privilege we have that we are being invited to be part of the larger mission that God is already doing in the world. And we pray because we believe God answers prayers. God always hears our prayers. The outcome may not be in the way we want it, but God hears our prayers. Previously, Jonah chose death over repentance, but what he experienced changed his thinking. When he prayed in verse 7 to 9, when my soul fainted within me, again, a reference to being at death's door. He had reached the end of the line. Like the prodigal son, he had gone as low as he could. There was nowhere else to go but to go back to God. The first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The story of Jonah has what theologians often describe as powerful typology. And this means that events in the Old Testament sometimes give us clues about how God's salvation works. For instance, the sacrifice of the Passover lamb prefigures how Jesus' death will defeat God's judgment from us. Jonah, in this case, could be seen as a type of Jesus. Basically, what Jonah went through, probably before 700 BC, in some ways prefigures what Jesus did centuries later. As we saw last week, Jonah gave himself up to save others. He said, throw me inside the water and you'll be saved. Jesus gave his life to save others. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. These things, among others, suggest that what happened to Jonah is an event that should point us to a bigger picture of salvation and ultimately to Jesus himself. Jonah's prayer invites us to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves. Our only hope comes in Jesus. And the word of God says that it shall come to pass that those who call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. When my life was embalming away, I remembered you, O Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. That's Jonah's prayer. And I'm sure that many of us, at different times, have prayed this kind of prayer. We need to realize that God is our source of help. God saves us as we are, but he does not leave us as we are. Returning to God will mean huge changes in our lives. Jonah vowed to the Lord, and he kept his vow. His life was literally torn away when he came back to God. And perhaps the study of Jonah will also draw our attention back to the vows we've made at different times in our lives. Maybe the times when we were in great difficulties and you prayed or muttered some prayers, making some promises and say, God, if you can just spare me through this, if you can just do this for me, I will do this. And many a time when that happens, we hardly remember the vows we've made. So the study of Jonah invites us to rethink about some of the vows we've made in the past, some of the promises we've made, about how we are going to change and have not. Perhaps at present, even though you've been praying, even though you try, you seek every day to live for God, it looks like things are not really improving. Perhaps it looks like God is absent from your circumstances or from your health, from your family. But you know, the story of Jonah also draws our attention to the fact that although Jonah was swallowed by the fish, was in the belly's fish, God protected him in there, but he was still in the waters. We have been saved, and God is working out his purpose in our lives. And so in this life, we experience death, we experience sicknesses, we experience pain, disappointments, and defeat. That does not in any way defy the salvation we have received from God. We know that one day we'll be raised to new life in God's kingdom. Because if everything our Christianity is all about this life, Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that our faith is nothing and baseless. One day we'll be raised to a new life. There is hope beyond the grave. And that is the faith of believers, that death does not have the final say over our lives. Circumstances do not have the final say. God has the final say over our lives. And so no matter what it is we are passing through in our personal lives, as a congregation, as families, we know that God has the ultimate. He has the final say. And so like Jonah, we can come back to God. As Jonah, we can fall back to God because he is there. His shoulder is always available. His shoulders are so large to contain us. And his ears are not deaf to hear our prayers. So no matter what the situation is today, Jonah is inviting us to come back to God. Jonah is inviting us not to give up on praying. Jonah is inviting us not to give up on God. And even if we do, God will not, he will not give up on us. He has our back. And he's always coming after us. Amen.